today, I want us to take a look at Paul's letter to the church at Rome. We'll be looking at Romans chapter 12. And I want us to look at verses. We'd like to add a few more verses to this passage here and go down to verse 8. So please turn in your pew Bible to Romans. Please listen to God's word. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many from one body, and each member belongs to all others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Let's pray. Dear Lord, this morning, as we have just heard your word, Lord, we pray that you would help us to take your word into our hearts and minds. We pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to truly grasp and understand your word so that we can glorify you. Lord, we ask that you would bless us now as we seek to apply your word to our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In our passage for today, Paul offers here some practical advice to the Roman church, to the Roman believers. The earlier parts of Paul's letter to the church at Rome are deal with more high-level theology, with various important issues of doctrine. But as Paul outlines here in chapter 12 of Romans, he takes theology and he makes it very practical. He makes it applicable to the Roman believers' lives and to our lives today as well. Theology and the gospel of Jesus Christ exist to what? To transform us, to change us, to change the way we think, the way we live. And this morning, I want us to try to grasp what Paul is saying here in this passage. This is God's word through Paul's writing. And let's think today about how we can apply this word to our lives. The first sentence of this chapter begins with, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. In other words, our commitment to God is based on what God has done for us. When we think about God's mercy in our lives, when we think of His forgiveness, this will cause us to live sacrificial lives to God. We will realize what He has done for us, and we will want to worship Him in all of His glory, in all of His splendor, in all of His majesty. When we realize what Christ's death on the cross means for us, that'll be like a magnet drawing us closer and closer to Jesus. Paul notes that we respond to the love that God has shown to us by giving our bodies to God. Now, what does this mean? Paul is using here the words of sacrifice. When he uses the words your bodies, he means more than merely our flesh and our bones. When he's talking about our bodies here, he means our whole selves. We're to give our whole selves to Jesus. Jesus requires all of us, our complete allegiance. What Jesus wants from us is total commitment. Not merely a halfway commitment, but all of us. That is the only thing that we should give back to him. When we think about Jesus giving it all for us, we need to give back our all to him. Isaac Watts, the great hymn writer, wrote, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Not just a little bit of us, but all of us. That's what Jesus wants from us. He wants our complete attention. He wants all of our lives. Those who give their all to God will not seek to copy the behavior and the thinking of this world. And that's what Paul gets at in verse 2 of this text. Our minds will be transformed. Our minds will be minds that are full of God's word. We'll be listening to Jesus. We'll truly care about what he says. Let me illustrate this with an illustration here. Imagine for a moment that you have a very wealthy aunt, okay? Extremely wealthy aunt. And unfortunately, and maybe some of you have extremely wealthy aunts, I don't know. But just imagine for a moment that you have an extremely wealthy aunt. And unfortunately, she passes away. And you receive a notice that you are to go to the lawyer's, her lawyer's office for what? A reading of her will. Okay? So you go down there to the lawyer's office, and you're there with your other family members, and the lawyer begins to read the will. What are you paying attention to? You want to hear your name, right? You cannot wait to hear when your name is read and what inheritance you are going to get from your aunt, right? Think about that in terms of God's word. Every time we read God's word, we should be saying to ourselves, where is my name? How does this apply to me? What is God saying to me through this portion of his word? How is this part of scripture applicable to my life? So as we read this passage this morning, how is this applying to me? That is how we can transform our minds. And the Holy Spirit helps us to understand God's word. We can't merely come to it on our own. Our church comes out of the 16th century Protestant Reformation. And the Holy Spirit, with God's word, those two things caused the Reformation. And at the Reformation, they had a very important Latin saying. And that saying was post tenebrae lux. I don't know very much Latin. That's about all the Latin I know. But that was the phrase that was repeated very often in the 16th century. And what that phrase means is, after darkness, light. The thinking of this world is darkness. But God's word is light. And this is how our minds should be trained. We need to fill our minds with God's word and not allow our lives or our minds to be conformed to this world. As Paul says here, he says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So as you read God's word, listen for your name. How does this apply to me? And ask for the Holy Spirit's help as you seek to understand God's word and as you seek to live out God's word. Starting in verse 3, Paul asserts his apostolic authority by saying to the Roman church, the Roman believers, don't think you are better than you really are. Apparently, within the Roman church, there were some people who were developing an arrogant spirit, a prideful spirit. They had a high opinion of themselves. Paul seeks to address this by saying, make sure to give an honest evaluation of yourself. In other words, as Paul says here, have sober judgment when you think of yourself. Now, as we look at our lives, we look at part of our lives where we've failed, where we've fallen short. And as we think about that, we can't get too down in the dumps, because we're reminded by the gospel that God sent his son to die on the cross for us, and that he has shed his blood so that we could be forgiven, and that we are truly a forgiven people. So we must not despair in our sin, but we can't be arrogant or prideful when it comes to our own spiritual state. We don't want to think too high of ourselves, but we must not think too low of ourselves as well. Now you'd be saying, okay, well, why shouldn't we think too low of ourselves? You know, I've fallen short too much. How can God love me? I'm a sinner. How can God care for me? Well, we need to remember that God, as outlined in the book of Genesis, God created us in his image. And the whole biblical story is about his love for us, which is climaxed on the cross. So as we think about this here with Paul and the Roman church, we must not have too low of our view of ourselves, and we must not have too high view of ourselves. We must have a sober judgment of our own spiritual state. So in other words, what's needed as we examine our lives is balance. Paul adds here that we're to measure ourselves by our faith. Now, what this means is that faith causes us to look to Christ. And when we measure ourselves to him, we won't think more highly of ourselves than we should. What we need to remember is that God loves us. And he has given each one of us, as Paul outlines here, what? Different gifts. And we're to use those gifts with humility. Arrogance, pride, and thinking you are better than others are attitudes that are what? They're destructive to the life of the church. Not just to us personally, but they're destructive to the unity of the church. These ways of thinking can do great harm, not only to ourselves, but to Christian community. But as we look to Christ, as we look to him as the author and perfecter of our faith, we receive encouragement. We receive guidance. God's word is a what? It is a lamp unto our feet. It provides us with the way that we should go. And it builds up our faith, it builds up our character, and God's word helps us develop our gifts. Starting in verse 6, Paul discusses the different gifts God has given us. And as we reflect on these gifts this morning, we need to realize that each one of us has a gift or different gifts. You know, sometimes we think, okay, I'm not so good. What can I do for God? What I want to say to you this morning is that God has given you gifts. The whole history of the church for the last 2,000 years is littered. It is filled with people who thought they had no gifts. But God transformed their lives, transformed their minds, and they were able to accomplish great things. We think of the Apostle Paul himself. We think of many other great individuals down through the history of the church. People who earlier on in their life, they may have seemed hopeless. One of the most hopeless people in the early church was a guy named Saint Augustine. And if you're familiar with his life, the early part of his life anyways, he was a horrible, despicable individual. He lived a life of great sin. And yet, his mother, Monica, prayed for him over and over and over. Saint Monica, she is the patron saint of praying mothers. And Augustine, we don't have all day here, but he got involved in Platonic philosophy that wasn't Christian, involved in all these things, but through the influence of some people, he went to church and he heard St. Ambrose preach, he heard God's word, and God's word changed his life and transformed his mind. And God's word can transform your minds today. And God transformed Augustine's life and he did great things for God. It's not about being great for God, it's about allowing our great God to work through you. So today, as we think of this passage, as you think about your name in relation to this passage, think about how you are going to use the gifts God has given you. This morning, are you cultivating those gifts? Are you using those gifts? You know, we come here on Sunday morning, we worship, we go to Sunday school, we learn about the faith, but the real work of the church is not about Sunday morning. The real work of the church is about Monday. The work of the church is about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. This is just the halftime. This is just the time of worship and encouragement. But the real work of the church is the rest of the week. Are you using your gifts the rest of the days of the week? This is what God is calling us to do. And on this Pentecost Sunday, as we think about God sending His church into the world through the power of the Holy Spirit, are we answering God's call on our own lives? Are you responding? Is your name, are you hearing your name in Scripture? Isaiah in the Old Testament, the Lord asked, "Who will go for me?" And Isaiah said, what? "Here am I, send me." Will you be sent this morning? Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray this morning that you would help each one of us as we seek to grow in our understanding of your word and as we seek to apply your word to our lives. Help us to not live our lives in conformity to the world, but help us to live our lives in obedience to you and to your word. Help us to leave here this morning, realize that each one of us is called, each one of us is sent, and help us to live fruitful lives, seeking to share your hope and your love and your compassion with the world around us. Lord, help us in this task and help us in fulfilling the mission that you have given us through the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray all this in Jesus' name.